week preaching the Word of God. It will help us if we'll receive it. And I pray that you got something that you'll take with you beyond these days. You see, that's what we really need, of course. Next week, you'll be out there in your regular routine. Camp meeting won't be going on. But God may put something in your heart in these days that when you get out there and the devil jumps on your back, Holy Ghost will bring it to your remembrance. See, I like that. You see, that's when David said it, I've hid thy word in my heart. You see, David had it in him. And when he needed it, the Holy Ghost would go hunt it and bring it up to him. Remind him of it. Amen. That's how you can explain that when you're out there somewhere, you ain't near your Bible, and then all of a sudden something happened that you need some of that word, and that's been stored in your heart, God will bring it up to your remembrance. And what a great thing that is, what a great blessing that is. And I appreciate the Brother Younger. I appreciate all those who've labored these 2 weeks. And these meetings in these days are not as easy as they used to be. It seems like folks in these days don't take to them as much as they did in days gone by. But don't let that discourage you. You just keep hitting that lick, praise God. You just be faithful. You see, God never called us to be successful. He called us to be faithful. If we're successful, it won't be because of anything we did anyway. It'll be because of what He done. And so, all He's looking for is somebody to be faithful. I'm kind of like a preacher friend of mine was talking. He said that as a fellow trying to learn to play the guitar, and said he learned one chord, that G chord. And said some other fellas was picking along, and there's a change in chords. And said that fella, he just held that G chord. He never changed, for he just held that one chord. And they were getting a little aggravated with him. They said, now, listen, said, you're supposed to go up and down the neck on that thing. And he said, no. He said, them fellas was looking for it, and I found it, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So if you found it, just stay with it. Just stick with it, praise the Lord, if you found it. And I'm glad that you have. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible, I ask you tonight, Mark chapter number 8. I will ask you to do this. Pray for my family. Lord willing, if nothing happens prior to Monday, I'm going to be a new grandpa again. Our daughter and her husband, my brother Cameron Dula, my daughter Brittany are having their first child on Monday, scheduled to go in Monday. And so if you would pray that everything will go well, and looking forward to seeing little Charlotte Rose as she comes on the scene. And God's blessed my family, and I appreciate that. And appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I've been praying all week she wouldn't go into labor while I was down here in High Point. And so the Lord's answered that prayer. And so we're glad for that. But if you will, pray for my family. Mark chapter number 8. If you're able, stand with me tonight for just a few minutes, and I'll not be long before you tonight. Mark chapter number 8, and I want to start reading in verse number 22. Mark chapter 8 and verse number 22. The Bible said, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And I ask you, God, tonight that you'd take it to the hearts of this people. Would you help me for just a few minutes that I might bring a message that would encourage some heart here tonight in this place. Thank you for these days of meeting. Thank you for how you've helped us. Now, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do your will tonight as we finish out these services, and God will give you praise for what you do. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in the Word of God, we have the scene of Jesus and his encounter with a blind man. Now, that's not unusual in the New Testament, of course. You find many accounts where Jesus would go about healing the sick and giving sight to the blind. So it's not unusual that he's encountering a blind man. But as I was reading, of course, this story, Many times, and when you read the stories of Jesus when he would heal the sick, each one had a different angle. I guess sometimes when you read the writings in the Gospels, you find a different slant that the writer would give of that. And here was one story, as I read this story about the healing of this blind man, that always I was a little bit puzzled by what I was reading. That's nothing strange. There's a lot of this book that I can't tell you. I know for sure exactly what the Lord was trying to say, but I know enough about that book to get to downtown heaven, and that's all I need to know anyway. And the rest of it, God will tell me about it if I need to know it when I get there. But here in this story, I was always puzzled. Here's a blind man. The Bible said they brought him to Jesus. I was just, matter of fact, last week, I was up a week before last, I can't remember now, I was up in Henderson, North Carolina, and I was up there with Brother Jesse Craigle. I don't know how many of you know Brother Jesse, but he's a blind man that sings and plays fantastic musician. And Brother Jesse and I, we were staying at the same hotel, so I got to help him around, and we carried him some different places, and I was amazed at what those that are blind, he was blind from birth, he said, and the things that he recognized. Well, I set him down in my truck. I said, come on, get in my truck. When he sat down in my truck, he told me what kind of truck I had, and he's a blind man. Never seen a day in his life, yet he told me I was driving a Ford F-150. I said, wow, what a great perception that he has. And I thought about, here is a blind man in this scene, and they've brought him to Jesus. No doubt those who brought him, the Bible doesn't say who it was that brought him, but whoever it was had probably told him, said, now listen, if we can get you to this man Jesus, he can heal blinded eyes. He can give you your sight. And the Bible said that they took him to Jesus. And when they did, the Bible said Jesus did something unusual. The Bible said this, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit upon his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And here's what always puzzled me. Here's a blind man that's in an encounter with the Savior who has the power to give him his sight. But when he looked up, Jesus touched him, spit upon him, and said, what do you see? And this is what he said. He said, I see. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. In other words, he said, I can see, but I can't see clearly. I can see, but I can't tell the difference between men and trees. Everything's not clear. Now, I never could really understand that, because I know that Jesus has the power to completely heal a blind man instantaneously. Jesus has the power to correct any problem in your life, and he don't have to do it in phases or stages. I'm glad he can do it. But here's a blind man. When Jesus asked him, said, what do you see? He looked up, and the Bible said, I see men, but they look like trees. Apparently, this man hadn't been born blind, because he knew what a tree looked like. He said, I see men as trees walking. And here's where I really want to get to in this message. The Bible said that after he said that, the Bible said Jesus, and after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes. And I want you to notice what the Bible says, and made him look up. I saw something here that I'd never recognized in this story, but here's a blind man. He's in the encounter of his life. He's on the verge of the greatest blessing of his life. He's on the doorstep of it. He's on the precipice of the greatest victory of his life. But here's a blind man that, right on the verge of the greatest blessing, got discouraged and hung his head. And the Bible said the first time he looked up on his own, but the second time the Lord had to make him look up. Body language tells you a lot about how someone feels. As a pastor, I don't have to have somebody tell me, you that men that pastor, when some of your folk walk through the door, you don't have to ask them how they're doing. You don't have to ask them many times what's going on in their life. You can see it on their countenance. You can see the heaviness on their expression. And many times you see it, and here's a blind man. If you look at him now, he's standing there, and they've told him, said, now if we could just get you to Jesus, if we could just get you there, you can get help. And all of a sudden, Jesus spits on his eyes, touches him, and he looks up, and he's expecting to see real good. And all of a sudden, he says, well, I can see, but men look like trees. And I could see him in his mind saying, I knew my case was too bad. I knew I was too hard. I knew that somehow or another it's too good to be true. And then all of a sudden the Bible said Jesus touched him again. See, this is the thing you need to remember. Some of you may be here tonight and you came in, you're so discouraged. Sometimes the greatest discouragements of our life are on the precipice of the greatest victories of our life. I have to keep telling myself that, because sometimes the discouragements are great. But you just need to remember this. Whenever you get discouraged and whenever you hang your head, just remember this. God's not through yet. The Bible said, here's a blind man, and Jesus is in his encounter. And this blind man, after Jesus spit on his eyes and touched him, he looked up and he couldn't see real clear, and he hung his head. And what he didn't recognize was that God was still working, and God wasn't through yet in his life. Amen. You say, preacher, when will we get discouraged? I believe you can see it in this passage tonight. Number one, it's easy to get discouraged when you've received less than you expected. Somehow or another, when you get saved, you hear people talk about being saved, and you got these grand ideas of what it means to be saved, what the Christian life holds. But the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of spit in the Christian life. There's a lot of, sometimes there's difficulties. Sometimes there's things that don't meet your expectations. Somehow or another, when you get saved, you think it's going to be easy. And somehow or another, when you get saved, you expect that things are going to be different than what they are for other people. But the fact of the matter is, there's going to be days of discouragement. There's going to be days when you hang your head. There's going to be days when the difficulties overwhelm you to the point you feel like you can't take another step. But it's good to know that in the midst of those difficulties, in the midst of those discouragements, it's good to know, hallelujah, that God's not through yet. Hallelujah. You ever receive less than you expected? I remember as a kid when I was growing up, Mom and Daddy, Christmas was always a big time at our house. We didn't have a lot. But you know, back in them days, it's a lot different than it is now. It didn't take a lot to make us happy back then. But Christmas was kind of a big deal, and this was back in the days before the internet and online shopping and all that. Back in them days, they'd send out that there wish book, you know. Y'all remember getting the wish book? Boy, I tell you, like that there wish book, they'd send that Christmas catalog in the mail months prior to Christmas. And boy, I tell you what, that was a red letter day in the Fletcher household when the wish book came. Because us kids, man, we'd get that book and we'd look through there at all the potential possibilities of what might arrive on Christmas morning for us. And we wasn't as forward as kids are today. Nowadays, kids get everything. They don't appreciate nothing that they get. But back in them days, we wouldn't tell them exactly what we wanted, but we'd leave subtle hints, amen. Sometimes just leave it laying open on the coffee table, on the page of what you wanted. You know how it was on Christmas morning, man. You'd get up, and Mom and Dad was awful bad to do this. They'd gather us all in on Christmas morning. They'd start handing out two or three little old presents, and man, everybody'd be there. My sisters would be there, and all of a sudden they'd say, all right, you open yours first. And man, you'd open, here you are. You've been anticipating. You've been waiting on this day, and all of a sudden you open up, man, you rip that first package open, and it's a pack of underwear. Now, we all need underwear, but ain't nobody wants them for Christmas. We all need socks, but nobody wants socks for Christmas. And man, but you know what? You try to keep a smile on your face. Say, well, I appreciate it. I sure did need that. And man, there'd be another one. You think, well, maybe the next one. And you open that one, and it's something. It's a shirt or a pair of pants or something like that. And as a kid, you are not real excited about that.
And you know, mom and dad was awful bad to do this. They'd kind of play the game. They'd let everybody open, and you're sitting there, and you're trying to keep a smile on your face because what you asked for, you didn't get. And you're sitting there trying to play the good part, and man, you think it's all said and done. And then all of a sudden, mom or dad wouldn't say, "Lord, what in the world is that over there behind the couch?" And all of a sudden, you look up, and there's And one of them walk over and say, "Well, I don't know, but said there's something over here." And about that time, they pull out the big present. And praise God, when you ripped it open, there was what you'd been longing for. There was what you'd desired. I got news for you. Praise God, you may be sitting here tonight with spit in your eyes, discouragement in your heart, but we've not opened the big present yet. Amen. I'm glad there's coming a day. This world don't hold much for us. This world don't have much happiness for us, but one of these days we're going to open the big present. Amen. I'm glad there's coming a day that Jesus is coming for his own. Hallelujah. So just look up, child of God. Be encouraged, amen. Because God's not done yet. This world looks at us and they think, them poor Christians. They ain't got nothing here, and they still serve a God. They talk to somebody they can't see. They're looking for a city they've never seen, and they're living their life. They're being so deprived in this world. I'm going to tell you one thing right now. You're going to forget all that talk when you open the big present. Amen. You're going to forget all that talk when you step out of this realm into the other realm and you behold him with your eyes. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, that God's still working, and he's not done yet. Amen. It's easy to get discouraged when you've received less than you expected. Number two, it's easy to get discouraged when the process is not what you expected. Here's a blind man, and they've told him, if we can get you to Jesus now, he can help you. I could imagine this blind man's a thinking, wonder what in the world he's going to do. Matter of fact, they probably told him, said, now listen, there's never been a man that spake like this man. Matter of fact, when he speaks, the ocean waves lay down. When he speaks, dead men get up and walk around. When he speaks with power and authority. And I can imagine that blind man's thinking, what in the world? You reckon what he's going to say to me? Reckon what he's going to say to me? And the Bible didn't say he said anything to him. Took him by the hand, led him out of town, and spit on his eyes. Yes, sir. I could imagine a blind man standing there thinking, great day in the morning. Yeah. They said this man would speak, and boy, it's going to be something wonderful. And I just don't understand this process. He's done spit on me. He spit on my eyes. And then all he did was ask him a question. What do you see? Do you see aught? That blind man got to look, and he said, you know what? This process ain't exactly what I thought it was going to be. Do you realize sometimes the things we go through in life, the process is not what we thought it would be? I had a dear sister in my church a few years ago. She was in her 40s, and she got diagnosed with breast cancer. She loved the Lord. She went through the whole process of all of that, the treatments, lost her hair, everything, and it became quite evident that she was losing the battle with breast cancer. Everybody knew it. The doctors knew it. She knew it. And I'll never forget one Sunday. We were there at the church. We were having a service, and folks began to testify in the service. She was sitting over on the side wing with a little hat on her head where she'd lost her hair, and one of the ladies had been to the doctor that week, and she began to testify. I said, preacher, can I just say something? She said, I want to thank the Lord. She said, I want to thank the Lord. My test came back good. I got a good report from the doctor, and we rejoiced over that. Somebody else said, preacher, I want to thank the Lord. That job I've been trying to get, I got it this week, and I want to praise the Lord. I want to thank him for it publicly. And people were thanking the Lord for what he had done. And all of a sudden, that little lady sitting over there with cancer stood up and she said, preacher, can I testify? I said, you sure can, sis. What do you need to say? She said, and these words, I still hear them echoing in my ears. She said, I want to thank the Lord for my cancer. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's one thing when you thank the Lord for a good report at the doctor's office. It's another thing when you thank Him for getting the job you've been wanting to get. But when you say, I want to thank the Lord for my cancer, I'm all ears. I want to know what you've got to say about that. And she stood there with tears in her eyes, and she said, I want to thank the Lord for my cancer. She said, because without it, I would not have gotten to know Him in the intimate way that I know Him now. I said, glory to God. She's in a process that wasn't what she expected in life. She expected to grow old and see her grandbabies grow up. But here she is in the middle of a process. But she understood this, that God wasn't done yet. Even though she might have to leave this realm, He had something better prepared just beyond the veil. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Praise God. I don't know what process you're in and how discouraged you may be by it. Just remember this. God's still working. He's still got His hand on you. And God's not through yet. This life is not always easy. It's not easy for church people. It's not easy for preachers. Many years ago in our town, we're predominantly in our county. We're not a big county. Matter of fact, we don't even have a Walmart in our whole county. We got 150 dollar stores. We ain't got no Walmart. But anyway, predominantly Baptist churches in our county. We got a few Church of Christ, some of them eggheads, but anyway, God help them. Them boys sing Water, Fellowship, Water, Joy Divine. But anyway, but in our county, there's one little bitty Church of God in our whole town. Never has had a big crowd. I know most of the people go there and they're good people. And back many years ago, they sent an old boy up there to pastor that little Church of God. He was just a young fella out of Bible college. He's a big old guy. He'd actually played football for East Tennessee State University, offensive lineman. Big old guy. They sent him up there to pastor that church. I was at the church one day, and I was doing some things around the church, and I heard somebody walk through the doors during the week, and heard somebody walk through the door and said, praise God, said I'd feel right at home here. I looked up and this big old guy was standing in the aisle of my church. I said, well, sir, I said, is something I can do for you? Something I can help you with? He stuck out his hand. He said, well, I'm preacher so-and-so. And I'm the new pastor up at the Church of God in Mountain City. I saw somebody was here. I thought I'd come and introduce myself. I said, well, good to meet you. I appreciate meeting you. And he was a good old boy. Like I said, I believe he loved God. Matter of fact, I don't believe it. I know he loved God. Anyway, the old boy, he got to the point that he struck up a friendship with me, and he would call me on Saturday nights when he was preparing messages. He'd say, preacher, have you ever preached on this? What's your idea on this scripture right here? I got to the point I felt like his pastor. The old boy got sick. He got a blood clot in his lung, and they put him in the hospital, and I found out about it, and I said, so that's pretty serious. And I said, I got to thinking. I said, that little old church, I bet they can't hardly even take care of him. And I bet he don't have no health insurance. And that got heavy on my mind. I said, ain't no other Church of God folks around here. Ain't no other Church of God folks around here. And I said, I went to my people on Sunday night. I said, folks, I don't know if you know it or not, but the preacher at the Church of God up here has been in the hospital. And I said, there ain't no other Church of God folks around here. But there is some of God's children around here. And I said, they may need the light bill paid or they might need some groceries. I said, let's take up a little money. See, and we took up that night. I think we got about $500, $600 that night. This has been probably 18 years ago. And I heard that he got out of the hospital, and I called him. I said, preacher, how you doing? I heard you've been sick. He said, preacher, he said, yeah. He said, I've just got out of the hospital. He said, I'm doing just a little bit better.
I said, well, man, would you feel like having breakfast with me one morning? He kind of hesitated. He said, well, preacher, he said things is kind of tight around here. I said, oh, you misunderstand. I said, I want to buy you breakfast. I said, if you'll meet me down at the restaurant. Now, I'll tell you the quickest way to get the tail started on you as a Baptist, independent Baptist preacher, that you've gone ecumenical, is when they see you sitting with the Church of God preacher down at the restaurant. But I got news for you. The independent Baptist didn't save me. The independent Baptist don't tell me what to do. That book that I preach tells me what to do. And if you see your brother in need, if you shut up your bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in you? And he said, well, he said, I do need somebody to talk to. He said, I feel like we went down there. I bought his breakfast that morning. And I was sitting there, and he just poured out his heart. He was discouraged. And finally, we got up to leave. And he said, preacher, I want to thank you. He said, you've been such an encouragement to me today. And I looked at him and said, well, really the reason I brought you down here. And I reached in my pocket and I pulled out that envelope. I said, we took up some money last night at the church for you. And I said, we thought you might need the light bill paid or maybe some groceries. He had two little old kids at that time. When I held that envelope out, that big old strapping offensive lineman stood there and his chin began to quiver. And the tears started streaming down both cheeks. And he just stood there for seemed like an eternity before he could even say anything. And finally, when he did say, he said, preacher, you don't understand. You don't understand. I hadn't even got so much as a get well card from anybody else. And here's a Baptist preacher with a love offering. He said, preacher, that ain't nothing short of the love of Almighty God. Amen. I said, I got news for you, praise God. Just when you think the process has run you out, left you on the floor, nobody cares. There's a God that's still working. There's a God that's still got his hand on you. Hallelujah to his name. That old boy got so, I was in revival meeting in Bristol, Virginia, Brother Rayton Puckett. He heard I was in revival. He said, preacher, can I drive you over to the meeting? I said, oh my, this is going to be interesting tonight. When I roll in to preach and all the Baptist brethren there and they find out that I was chauffeured to the meeting by the Church of God pastor in Mountain City, Tennessee. And that old boy picked me up in his car. He said, I love you, preacher. I want to take you over there. He said, now the only thing I'm having a little hard time with is that y'all holler amen and we just like to clap our hands in the Church of God. I said, if you feel like clapping, help yourself, son. I got a call, and that was 18 years ago. I got a call last year from that old boy. He's in Atlanta, Georgia now. Called me, talked to me 45 minutes. He said, preacher, I'm needing some help. I said, what's that? He said, I'm 50-some years old. And he said, I'm a feeling more like I'm a Baptist than I am a Church of God. He said, I was raised in the Church of God. But he said, I'm 50-some years old and thinking about switching lanes. He said, I believe more like you, preacher. I said, well, hallelujah. I said, Lord God, I'm going to pray for you because I don't know a Baptist preacher in the country that will take you in and like you are. Except for me, I'd do it. He said, what do I do if I go to a Baptist church? I went to Church of God Seminary. I said, don't tell them none of that. Just tell them God called you to preach. He said, preacher, he said, I just got to look. And he said, I ain't never talked in tongues in my whole life. I said, son, you've been a Baptist all this time and you didn't know it. Praise God. But you see, God ain't through yet. God ain't through yet. Just remember when the process is not what you, just remember when you've received less than you expected. Number three, when you've gone the extra mile and things ain't worked out. God's not through yet. The Bible said Jesus took him by the hand and led him out of town. He went farther with Jesus than the other blind men had to go. Some of them got healed right on the spot. And here he is. He's being led out of town. He's thinking, well, I didn't realize that I was going to have to go this far with him. Can I say sometimes the easiest way to get discouraged in your Christian life is when you've went the extra mile, when you've been faithful, when you've went farther than other people's gone, you've raised your family in the house of God, you never missed a service, and then somehow or another them young'uns get out there on their own, they decide they're going to take a trip, and you get discouraged and say, God, why in the world did that happen? I taught them right, I took them to the house of God, and God, I don't understand, I did what other people didn't do. Why has this come against my family? What you need to understand is, God ain't done yet. Amen. You may have some bites out there right now, out there used to be in meetings like this, but now they're out there, they're kind of out there drifting. Let me tell you something, don't get discouraged by that, because let me tell you something right now, even though they're not here, the Holy Ghost is where they're at. Amen. Do you realize the Holy Ghost does a lot of preaching in bar rooms? Amen. The jukebox may be playing, but the Holy Ghost can be louder. Amen. When you're out there astray, I'm glad that one that God put inside us when He saved us, I'm glad He's there to speak to your heart, bring you back to where you need to be. So don't get discouraged because you've gone the extra mile and seems like things haven't worked out. Just remember this, that God's still working, God's still on the throne, and God's still able. Amen. You must say, but preacher, don't look like victory's come for me. Just hold on. We've not seen the end of the story. Just remember this. God's not done yet when it seemed like you've went the extra mile. Finally, last of all, it's easy to get discouraged when you've had an undesirable experience. There's so many people, you go see them today and say, well, preacher, I used to go to church, but you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what somebody said about me or said something about my family or preacher, I just got hurt real bad. I hear those words, every pastor does. We just got hurt real bad at the church we was at. Well, you ain't telling us nothing we don't know. Because every one of us pastors has been hurt real bad at the church we're at some point. Brother Mustin, you've been, what, 34 years? I guarantee you, you've been hurt a few times. You've been hurt a few times. But you didn't throw in the towel, and you didn't quit, and you, it was an undesirable experience. You wouldn't have wished it on your worst enemy when somebody that you loved just turned and went the other way after you'd went above and beyond. And they just said, well, we just felt like we ought to do this now. It happens. But can I say to you, here's a blind man, he's standing there with spit in his eyes. That's undesirable. Matter of fact, the quickest way to start a fight is spit in somebody's face. I mean, you let somebody walk up to you, spit in your face, and it's about to get on. A few years ago, they just about shut down Major League Baseball because one of them ball players got mad and spit in the umpire's face, and the umpire said, if they're going to treat us like that, we'll just shut the whole thing down. It's an undesirable experience. I remember as a little old kid, you know, you'd be ready for church, be headed to church, and in the back seat of the car, and you know how little boys is, after mama gets them ready to get out and play and run around, and your mama look back in the back seat and say, great day in the morning, where'd you get that dirt on you? Come here, boy. Yeah. And you know what your mama would do. Yeah. It was spit bath time. Amen. Now, I'll be honest with you, I love my mama, but I don't want a bath in her spit. I love her, but I don't want no spit bath. I mean, you're just going, no, mama, mama, no, I'm all right. And she, come here, boy. And she's rubbing on you, spit bathing you real good. Amen. Undesirable. Here's a blind man. He's standing there, and he's got spit running down his eyes. He's thinking, man, this is a bad deal right here. He said, what do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking. He hung his head. Now I want you to notice what the Bible says. The Bible said the first time Jesus touched him, spit on him. But the second time Jesus didn't spit again. He just touched him. This is what I think happened. You can't prove me wrong. I can't fully prove me right, but you can't prove me wrong. The Bible said that Jesus touched him again. This is what I think happened. I believe that blind man had his sight perfectly the first time he looked up.
when he hugged his head, he said, "What do you see?" He said, "I see men that look like trees. I can't tell the difference." I could almost see Jesus said, "Oh, come here a minute. Let me wipe the spit out of your eyes. Now what do you see?" He said, "I see every man clearly." Amen. You know what? There's a lot of people sitting at home tonight. All they need is the big hand of the loving Savior to wipe the spit out of their eyes. Get that negative experience out of their sight and get back where God needs them to be. Hallelujah to His name. I'm glad tonight, no matter what you've gone through in life, God can wipe the spit out of your eyes. Say, "Preacher, I've had a life of hard knocks." No doubt you have. But I've got news for you. I've got news for you. God can wipe the spit out of your eyes. God can give you a fresh vision for life. He can give you hope for tomorrow. Father, I thank you for what you've done for us tonight. Thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you'd take it now to the hearts of this people. God, you know who the message was for, who needed it the most. I pray that you'd help each one tonight in a special way. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. Let's stand with our